North Hendon Kolel, Shir on Tehillim, Chapter Vav, given by Gershon Hepner, 27th of November 2005, 25th of Maheshvan, Tovshin Salach Vav. Okay, Tehillim Chapter Vav. We'll go to the, like we usually do, I'll go through the whole chapter just with basic translation, and then we'll go through this again in detail. Yeah, so this is basically the text that we say for the paragraph of Tachanun. Capital Vav. Lamnatzech b'neginis al hashminis mizmele David, a song for the conductor in tunes al hashminis on the 8th, whatever that means. Mizmele David, a song to David. Hashem, al b'yabcha sechicheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't tell me off in your anger. Al b'chamascha siyasreni, nor should you punish me in your anger. Chanuni Hashem, give me grace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki umlal oni, because I am struck down, or I'm poor. Refa'imi Hashem, heal me, ki nephalu atzomoi, because my bones tremble. V'nafshi nephala ma'od, and my soul, or my life, trembles greatly. V'ata Hashem, and you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ad mosoi, until when? Unclear what that means, until when. Shuvah Hashem, return God, chalotza nafshi, release my soul, hushiemi, save me, leman chastecha, for the sake of your kindness. Gein b'mavis sechrecha, because there's no memory of you in death. B'sha'ol, in the grave, mi yodach, who can thank you. Yogati b'yanchasi, I am tired in my sighing, weariness in my sighing. Aschev v'cholaylo mitosi, I soak my bed every night. B'dimasi, arsi amseh, again, I soak my bed in my tears. Difficult to know what it means, we'll see. Oshesha mika'aseini, my eye is worn out in anger, or due to anger. Osaka b'chol tzoriroi, it's grown old, Oska is to be old, b'chol tzoriroi, as a result of all my enemies. Surim emeni kol palei oven, all those who do evil should go away from me. Ki shama Hashem kol b'chi, because Hashem has heard the voice of my crying. Shema Hashem t'chinasi, Hashem has heard my supplication. Hashem t'velasi ikach, Hashem will accept my prayer. Yevoshu v'yebohalu me'od kol oivoy, all my enemies should be embarrassed and tremble greatly, kol oivoy, all my enemies should. Yashuvu, they will return, yevoshu, they will be embarrassed for a moment. So it's, we can translate it, but it's impossible to know what it means until we actually look at the Pshatim on it. Yeah, good Kasha, don't know the answer. Yeah, why the enemy's only mentioned at the end, don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, by way of introduction to this whole capital, there are a number of different mafarshim who explain what the background of this. So first of all, the Ibn Ezra explains that this perek was written as a result of David's illness. David was particularly ill on one occasion, and he wrote this this whole chapter expressing his grief and expressing his difficulties, and in the prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save him and should give him a refuah. Alternatively, says the Ibn Ezra, it's written about Golus. The Klal Yisrael in Golus, and those are their troubles, and Hashem should rescue them from their Golus, should give them Geula from the Golus. The Radak says something very similar, namely that it was written as a result of illness or Golus. The Malbim gives a bit more of a background on this. He brings a Medrash that says that after the Maisa of David and Bathsheba, when David married Bathsheba under, I suppose you can say, slight, somewhat dodgy situation. Gemara is very clear that David didn't actually do any Avera there, but David sent Bathsheba's husband Uriah Hitti out to certain death, and then he married Bathsheba after a get, but before the death of the husband. And it was David himself saw it later on in life as being a little bit of a dodgy situation, wasn't entirely perfect. And after that, and he was punished, of course, after that with various punishments, another from his own children, Amnon and Tamar, and Avshalom's, and horrible problems like that from his own children, and of course he lost the child, the first child born to Bathsheba also died in infancy. But after all of that, David was ill for 13 years, and it seems to be the most awful illness where he was absolutely bedridden for 13 years, and this was written in his illness, and he wrote this capital in his illness, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for refuah. The illness was so great, I just tell you this amazing message, the illness was so great that for those 13 years they had to change, his own medrash, he had to change his bedclothes 7 times a day because he was drenched in tears from his terrible pains and his illnesses. 7 times a day they changed his bedclothes. No, absolutely, I know, yeah, medrashim, I don't know, yeah. That I don't know. Yeah, 57, that's right, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what stage it's like. No, probably younger, because it seems to be fairly soon after marrying Bathsheba. I don't know how old he married Bathsheba. We could possibly work it out, because he died at the age of 70, and Shlomo took over the Malchus at that time, and Shlomo was 12 years old when he took over the Malchus, and there was another child born to David and Bathsheba prior to Shlomo, who died in infancy. So maybe it might well have been fairly close to the end of his life, yeah, maybe the last 13 years or so of his life, could be. Yeah, that's right. Avishai is in there after, is it Avishai? I think it was. Nosson, I'm not looking. Who came to David, and it was in yesterday's after. We're going to refer to yesterday's after later. Yeah. There's nothing another yet to. And to ensure that that it should be Shlomo to take over and not Adoni Yogi Ben Chagis. Yeah, that was yesterday's after. Yeah. The Yalkut could well be yes towards the end. The Yalkut Memories gives a different chat by way of introduction to the chapter, that this was David's illness. After David did the census on Klal Yisrael, where he sent Yoav ben Tzeruiah to do the census, and that was wrong for him, and God Hanavi came to David with a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what you did was wrong. It's also the Nesses Yisrael Afilu Lidva Mitzvah. Again, a choice of 3 punishments. Either a nega against the whole of Klal Yisrael, like a plague, or that he was losing battle, or was it illness? I think. And David chose the 3-day plague, and in the end, the plague only lasted half a day. Oh, that's right. That pasuk is from there. Oh, that's it. Of course, yeah, of course. I forgot about that. We had that pasuk on Tzachman, Vayomer David our God. Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yeah. Also by way of introduction, I'll say this at the beginning, although the Yalkut Memories brings this right at the end of the chapter, something which I just don't understand. The Yalkut Memories says there are 11 psukim in this chapter corresponding to the 11 main ingredients of Keteres. That's all he says. Exactly what the connection is between our chapter and the Keteres, I've no idea. It says 11 psukim corresponding to the 11 ingredients of Keteres. Yes, don't quite understand that, but there we go. Alright, let's take a look. Pasuk of Lamnatseach, Beneginos, Al Hashminis, a song for the conductor. Menatzech is the conductor of the Beis Hamikdash choir. Al Hashminis, on the 8th, Mizmor LeDavid, a song for David. So, of course, the major question on this chapter, on this pasuk, is what exactly do we mean by the Shminis? What's this 8th? So the Mepharshim say, Rashi says, and other Rishonim say, it was a harp. And it's a reference to an 8-stringed harp. It was an 8-string harp. In fact, the Gemara says in Arachin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, in the name of Rabbi Huda, that generally in the Beis Mikdash the harp had 7 strings. In the time of Mashiach, the harp will have 8 strings, and that's what this chapter refers to. And in Olam Haba, 10 strings on the harp. What on earth that means, I have no idea. It's what Rabbi Huda says, 7, 8, and 10, Beis Mikdash, Mashiach, and Olam Haba, respectively. In fact, the Gemara seems to say that this mizmor is written on the 8th string, to be played on the 8th string. And I heard from 2 independent sources, both from Rabbi Yonason Royd and also from Clive Fearstone, this 8th corresponds to the 8 notes in an octave. I don't really understand that. Oh man, normally a musician. I don't really understand that, because surely these 8 notes are a Western creation, and you can split a note up, you can split sound up by the sound waves as much as you want, yeah. We're used to a 12-tone scale, right? 12 semitones in what we call an octave, but that's a Western creation, and if you could even sing between semitones and make quarter tones and so on. Yeah, obviously it's very hard. Yeah, if you make such a difference. Yeah. Okay, but at any rate, that shminis is refers to the octave. I heard that from two independent people. On one string. I don't know. Oh. Now I've researched it. Yeah. The harp does indeed have pedals. The modern harp, so concert harp has got pedals. A modern concert harp has 47 strings. Yeah. And with pedals, you can raise it by a tone, you know, either to sharpen the note or reduce it by a semitone to flatten the note. And that's what the pedals are used for. Some use pedals and some use something else, I can't remember what it is, sometimes levers or combination of those things, but it seems that David used this 8-stringed harp for this chapter of Tehillim. Yes, there's a later chapter, and I think it's chapter Yud Gimel, which refers to it. No, it's not, it's chapter 12, which begins with a very similar pasuk, L'Masech Al HaShminis Mizma LeDavid. Yeah, so this chapter also begins with that, Shminis. Yeah. Okay. The Medrash Shulchan Tov brings a very interesting Medrash on this, and this is also brought in the Gemara Melachos stuff, Mem Gimel Amid Beis, that famous Medrash about David HaMelech in the bathhouse, well-known Meisa, the David was in the bathhouse taking a bath, and of course being absolutely naked, he felt suddenly very depressed that he had no mitzvahs. He can't wear tefillin, the Gemara says he can't wear tefillin, he can't have mezuzah, and he can't have mezuzah on the door of the bathhouse, and he can't wear tzitzis, and he felt naked, and he can't learn Torah there either in that situation, so he felt very bad, very depressed that he had no mitzvahs, until he noticed the place of his bris milah. I said, oh, very good, I've got the mitzvah bris milah. And that's, and the Gemara learns it from the Pasuk, L'Masech Al HaShminis. The Shminis, the mitzvah that's given on the eighth day of a person's, for a person's life, the mitzvah bris milah, which is given Al HaShminis on the eighth day. That's the Gemara. Another pshat in Shminis there is that it was the first mitzvah given to Avraham Avinu, specifically first mitzvah, and of course Avraham Avinu prior to that moment had been counted as a Ben Noach with seven mitzvahs. Along comes Bris Milah, and it's the eighth mitzvah that Avraham at that stage would have had to keep. See, that was another pshat in Shminis. Very interesting, that's brought in the Marashah. Interesting kasha is brought there, that the when this Gemara is quoted in the Ein Yaakov, the Yad Yosef brings a kasha on this. He says, why did David have to notice the place of Bris Milah? He's got other mitzvahs as well. He's got payas. Yeah? So he's got that mitzvah as well. He's got mitzvah payas. He hasn't cut off his payas. So that's another mitzvah that he's performed by in a passive manner by not cutting off his payas. So he explains there that David's main issue there was not having the mitzvah of tzitzis and not having the mitzvah of mezuzah. And he quotes there that mezuzah, the main issue that he didn't have the mitzvah of tzitzis in the bathhouse, no mitzvah of tzitzis, and tzitzis are given corresponding to all the mitzvahs in the Torah, because we've got the five knots and the eight strings, and I can't remember how it goes, what's the remez, tzitzis, yeah, the word tzitzis, yeah, with the gematria of tzitzis giving up to 600 plus eight knots plus five strings, 8 and 5 is still 13, and therefore totaling 613, it's a Tarek mitzvah being marumas in the midst of tzitzis. So he says that not having the tzitzis was his major problem, and therefore that problem would not be solved by the mitzvah bris milah. I'm sorry, that problem would not be solved by the mitzvah of payas, because payas is a one-off mitzvah, looks like Kifu Rosh. There's no chiyuv, yeah, it's true. Yeah. You have to wait a minute. Yeah, good kasha. It's true. This is only a mitzvah kiyumis. You know, if you have four corners, then you have to wait a minute. Yeah. Say you what? Oh, without a mirror, you can see the pest. Oh, that's a nice answer. Oh. No, not having chopped off the pears beyond the point. Yeah, and of course, David HaMelech had pears. I mean, what? Yeah, he probably had a gartle and a strangle too. Yeah, it's a good answer. He couldn't see the pears without a mirror. It's also a point. Yeah, But the Yad Yosef explains this parish on the Ein Yaakov, says that the how with the mitzvah of Bris Milah is a parallel to the mitzvah of Tzitzis, in that Gedola Milah Shekinege Kala Mitzvah Shabbatot. That's the Gemara in the Dorim, and I think it's Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph, that the that Milah, it corresponds to all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Interestingly enough, that the word Bris is the letters Taryav, which corresponds to all the other 612 mitzvahs in the Torah. And I think that's brought by Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz on the Gemara in the Dorim, but I'm not sure. Okay, the another thing which I saw, they're connecting this this idea of Shminis being referenced to Bismillah, is that in this pasuk we have three references to song. We have Lam Natzeach, who's the conductor, we have Binaginos, and we've also got Mizmer. No less than three different lishonos, three different expressions of song. So we say on that, that therefore that's a remez, that when you celebrate a Bris Milah, you're talking about to celebrate it. So the Sudas Mitzvah, with the Simcha, Shal Mitzvah, and that's referred to by three different expressions. I didn't write down in my notes where I saw that pshat, I actually can't remember. Probably the Alkut Memories, but I'm not sure. Okay, Pesuk Beis. Hashem al biabcha sichcheni, Hashem, do not rebuke me in your anger, va'al bachamot sicha siyasni, nor should you punish me in your anger. Two different expressions there of anger. So on the surface, this looks like one of these many psukim we have in Tanakh, where we have a parallelism in the pasuk. The first half of the pasuk and the second half of the pasuk say the same message in two different ways. Don't punish me in your anger and don't rebuke me in your anger, comes to much the same thing. We have a It rings a bell. I'm not sure though. So the Radak explains on this pasuk that Hashem abeabcha sechicheni, says the Radak, if you need to punish me, and you do need to punish me, or you do need to rebuke me, at least please don't do it with af. Don't punish me with anger. Deserving of punishment? Yes, that I don't deny. But please don't punish me with af, with burning anger, but rather do it in small doses, sort of gradually, so that I can cope with the punishments in smaller doses. So don't punish me with af. But the pasuk, the Torah itself says so. V'charaf Hashem, v'charaf hi b'yom ha'hu. I think it's possible. Yeah, we do find it's anthropomorphism. Yad Hashem, yeah. V'yeret Hashem liros, yeah. Should understand it, yeah. The Malbim's many derachim in Tanakh is not to go for this idea of parallelism. We can see many psukim coming to parallels, yeah? That the first half and second half say the same thing. But the Malbim's Pirush on Tanakh against that. The Metzudas Dovid always goes for that. You know that the pasuk comes in two halves, and the second half echoes the first half. Kofal Hadova B'mashik B'mat Kosov is an expression you often see in the Metzudas Dovid. The pasuk repeats itself. But the Malbim doesn't agree with that. The Malbim's Derech, if the pasuk says the same message in two different ways, then must be two different messages. Says the Malbim, there's a difference between af and chema. They both are anger, but they're different types of anger. Says the Malbim, af is anger which is visible on a person's face, whereas chema comes from the lashon of cham or cham, meaning burning. It's a burning inner anger which a person bottles up inside him, ending up with a sort of a bottled up fury. That's chema. Likewise, says the Malbim, hechacha, as in the word sechicheni, hechacha is quite different from siasrini. Hechacha is to give punishment by telling off, giving someone a gentle telling off, whereas yisr, as in siasrini, is speaking very harshly, and possibly even leading to blows, you know, a person smiting someone else. And this is actually echoed in the Targum, because the Targum on this passage translates sechicheni as sachnieni, don't subdue me. Don't subdue me with af, and he translates the asrini as tirdei, lashon of roder, to chastise someone, to punish someone. So that idea is echoed in the Targum, which translates these two words very differently, to rebuke and to chastise. Rachamos a Barava, yeah. Burning anger inside him. Oh, fantastic. Oh, Rachamos a Barava. It's inner anger. It's a boiling on the inside. Very good. Oh, yeah. The af is the nose, which is visible. Yeah, so which is visible. Flaring nostrils. That's it. Then chemo is in the thing. That's right. Yeah, yeah. The interesting pshat is brought in the Malbim. Not the Malbim. In the art scroll on Tehillim, he says that we have these two expressions of af and chemo, and now we can connect that into the first pasuk where we learn shminis as being a reference to bris milah. And he quotes the Gemara in Nedarim Lamed Beis, where the Gemara speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu's failure to perform a bris milah on his son. He was on this journey going from Midian to Mitzrayim, and he failed to do bris milah on his son. Which son it was, whether it is Gershom or Eliezer, is in itself a machlokus among the Rishonim. He didn't do the bris milah, and he was swallowed up by this, by these malachim. They swallowed him up from his head down to his waist, and then spat him out again, and then swallowed up again from his feet up to his waist. And it was that stopping at his waist, or the place of the milah, on each occasion. So Tzipora saw, his wife saw, that the one place that he had not been swallowed up was the place of the milah, and she chat the message. The message was, he hadn't done bris milah on his son, he's got to do it. And so that's why she initiated the bris milah. So the now these two lashonis we have here, af and chema, are given as the names of the two malachim who swallowed up Moshe Rabbeinu. One was called Af and one was called Chema. So very good, so it connects very beautifully with this idea of Shminis being a bris milah. Yeah, interesting that it took, that shot is given by the man who put together that art school sefer. It was someone living in America, I assume, I don't remember the name, but no one spotted that beforehand. It's such a simple shot, really, Af and Chema with the Shminis, with the bris milah. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Chaneni Hashem, give me grace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki umlal oni, for I am cut down. Rafaini Hashem, give me a refuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki nifhalu atzomai, because my bones tremble. Oh, so, first thing to define is this word umlal. Exactly what does umlal mean? And Rashi explains that umlal means to be nishchas v'dal koach. Nishchas, cut off, v'dal koach, and very weak in strength. And the Mesudas Tzion links it to a Pasuk, where we say, Baboke Yotz, we said to him, Shabbos morning, Sukkot Zimmer, Baboke Yotz, it's v'cholof, lo erev yumelo v'yovesh. Baboker, in the morning, in the early part of a person's life, yotzitz, he blossoms, v'cholof, and he's rejuvenated, constantly changing strength, renewed strength all the time. But lo erev, in the evening tide, evening part of a person's life, in the later on in a person's life, yomolo, he's cut down, v'yovesh, and dries out. So it's a depressing pasuk, really. Well, I've yomolel, and yomolel is a lashon of milah again, meaning to be cut, because the word milah means meaning there to be cut. Yomolel and umlal, both being references to be cut, to cut down. The Mitzvah David explains that here we have the very interesting expression. Again, it's also like a parallel. Chaneni Hashem kiumlal oni, and then the parallel of that, Rafaini Hashem. So give me grace, followed by heal me. So the Mitzvah David says, Chaneni is give me grace, how? By do not add on any more tzaras. That's chaneni, don't give me any more tzaras. Whereas refa'eni is a lashon of please heal me from my present tzaras. Heal me from whatever, from my illness so far. Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, he's got a long pirush on this chapter. Hardly any of it was comprehensible to me, I'm afraid. It's really very complex. But a few small things I picked up. Nifhalu, he says the root of Nifhalu is Beis Heilamut, which really means confusion, Behola, and also here it means to tremble. And Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch in his Derech, and I heard this many years ago, Norman from your late father, Zichron Livracha, that Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch always goes for two-letter roots. Similar, but not identical roots, he finds connections between them. So he says Beis Heilamut, which means trembling or confusion, is connected to Beis Ayin Lamed, Baal, which is an expression of power. And so, a Behola can take control over a person, totally. If a person's trembling, he can't achieve anything. His whole body is taken over by this trembling, and therefore he becomes powerless. So, Beis Ayin Lamed being very similar to Beis Hei Lamed, especially as the iron and the hay hardly have any sound at all. So Beis Hei Lamed corresponding to Beis Ayin Lamed. That's how Shimshon Fal Hirsch learns. Okay, Pasuk Dalet. The Nafshi Nivhalo Me'ud, my soul or my life trembles greatly, V'ata Hashem, and you Hashem, Ad Mosoi, until when? So Rashi explains, what's this until when? Says Rashi, until when, Tabit V'in Charofei, how long will you look on and not heal me? How long are you prepared to watch me suffer so greatly and still not heal me? So this Ad Mosoi, the Loshen and the Pasuk is incomplete, but Rashi fills in the gaps for us. Until when are you prepared to let me suffer without curing me in any way? That's how Rashi learns. The Nivhala Ma'ud, the Nashi Nivhala Ma'ud, the article gives a nice translation, I'm utterly terrified. That's a good translation to jot down. I'm utterly terrified. The Mitzvah David explains that he says that David acknowledges what's the tachlis of my being punished. The tachlis is to make me suffer for my avarice in order to make me a better person. And David here turns around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, I'm going to become a better person. I've got the message. I've makabal the Musa and I'm makabal it the Ahava, but that means that there's no more any requirements for any more punishments. And therefore, I don't require any more punishments. I've got the message. Thank you very much. I've got the message. The Radak explains that earlier on in Pasuk Gimel, we have Ki Nivhalu Atzomoi, my bones tremble. Now we have a more advanced stage, the Nafshi Nivhala Ma'ud. It's not just my bones trembling, it's my whole life is trembling. Why? Because now he says that I see my life is going to be in danger. It's not just bones, it's nefesh. It's my whole existence is trembling, and therefore it deserves the extra lashon of Ma'ud. I'm trembling greatly. It's from this illness. I fear that I'm going to die from this illness. And a similar expression is brought by the Malbim, who also says that previously we just had Atzamoy, my bones, and that's extended onto the whole of Nefesh. The Medrash Shecha Tov, this Medrash on Tehillim, explains, gives a moshel, V'ata Hashem Ad Mosoi, and you Hashem Ad Mosoi, until when? So he gives a moshel of a person who has a desperate need for his doctor, and the doctor doesn't show up. The doctor says he's on his way, but he doesn't show up, and he doesn't show up, and the patient waits and waits and waits, and eventually the doctor shows up, and the patient turns to the doctor and he says, I'm absolutely at breaking point, you know, thank goodness you've arrived now. If you would have come any later, I don't think I would have survived. V'ata Hashem Ad Mosoi, until when are you to come waiting for this doctor, when the doctor arrives, so that Baruch Hashem you're here, because I almost didn't make it. The thing to note is that the Atah is in fact a Kriksiv. Probably in the song you've got there, it's spelled Vav Aleph Tov Hei. That's the Kri, that's the way we read it. But the Ksiv is Vav Aleph Tov, which of course without vowels reads V'at. So it's a Kriksiv. And I did not see any pirish on that at all. Why it's written, why the ksiv is just Vav Aleph Tov. I haven't seen this anywhere, but it's noteworthy that it's a Kriksiv. Okay, Pasuk Hey. Shuvah Hashem, Chalatza Nafshi, return Hashem, Chalatza Nafshi, release my soul, or release my life, Hoshieni, save me, Leman Chastecha, for the sake of your kindness. Oh, exactly, Chalitza, yeah, oh, the diuk, Chalitza. What's Pshat in Chalitza? Chalitza is to release, because this wife, this Yavama, this woman waiting for Yibum, she is Zukuka Yavam, which means she's tied to the Yavam in that she cannot marry anybody else until she does either Yibum, until it's either Yibum or Chalitza. Chalitza, Chesra Mitzadi is to release. So release my life. The art scroll brings a very interesting shot here, which I've tried to research and I've got absolutely nowhere on it. He brings that the root of Chalitza is Chesra Mitzadi, which is to release. So he says, very often you find an anagram of a shoresh being the antonym of that shoresh, right? Take the same letters of the shoresh, chesra matzadi, jumble them up, and you'll get the exact opposite meaning. So chesra matzadi is to release. Compare that to the same letters in a different sequence, lamed ches tzadi gives you lachatz, pressure. It's an exact opposite of release. And he says that this happens many times in Lashon HaKodesh, that the same letters jumbled up of the root will give you the exact opposite meaning, the exact antonym of the original root. He says it happens often, and I've tried very hard to think of even one other example, and I haven't found even one other example. I need to look into it still. But he says that apparently it's a common feature in Lashon HaKodesh. The anagram of the Shoresh is the antonym of the Shoresh. Very interesting. Lachatz and Choleitz. Okay, Shuvah Hashem. What's Pshat in the Shuvah Hashem? Return Hashem. Says Rashi, return Hashem mecharoncha, from your anger. Turn back from your anger against me and please release me and look after me now. Chaltzan Rashi, yeah, release me from, Rashi says it means release me from my illness. It's actually learning that the Tehillah, this chapter was written on the basis of David's illness.
Yeah, but you've got
Dalet
Shin,
Kuf Dalet Shin, as a Shoresh, has a lotion of Kedusha and also Tumah, Kedesha, in Pashas Yeshev, Kedesha, Ayeha Kedesha, Badech, Yehi Badech. So, the Pshat that really, Kuf Dalet Shin as a Shoresh means to single something out for a particular purpose, to devote something, an item for a particular purpose. So in Kiddushin it's because the woman is now Asura to anybody else. She's now single, she's allowed to one man only. That's Kiddushin. And likewise, the opposite way, Kadesha, is this woman has singled herself out, or she's devoting herself to Masim Zanus. So that's Kadesha. And you find it to be Makdish something, you're devoting it to the Beis HaMikdash only. So that really is what Kuftalishin really means, is to single something out. Yeah? Why is putting, if there's a connection with shade, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, Mitzvah David says on our pasuk, Hoshieni leman chastecha, save me for the sake of your kindness. So he says, this is a chesed. I'm relying on your chesed, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? Because I know I'm undeserving. I deserve more punishment. Therefore, if you stop punishing me and I recover from this illness, that will be a chesed as opposed to being deserved. It's not something I deserve. I'm asking for a chesed. And the Radak says something very similar. I'm not relying on my tzidkus here. I'm deserving a punishment, but please grant me the chesed of a refuah and Yeshua. Pasuk Vav. Kiein b'moves zichrecha. There's no memory of you in death. B'sha'ol, in the grave, miyod elach, who can thank you? So the Mitzvah David explains to the pshat in this pasuk, if give me a refuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save me and give me a refuah. Why? Because if I die from this illness, what benefit will be there? There'll be no benefit from that. While I'm still alive, I can still daven, I can still give shira and shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if I die from this illness, then no one will gain from it. I can't praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the grave. The Malbim says a pshat, which is a little bit morbid, but it's a gewaldige vort. The Malbim, again, sticking to his shitta, he doesn't believe in parallelisms in the pasuk. Otherwise, the pasuk looks like a parallelism. There's no mention of death. There's no mention of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in death, and in the grave who can thank you. It looks like a parallelism. Says the Malbim, no. In Maves, there can be a hodaya. A person can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Maves. In the Sha'ol, a person cannot. But in Maves, he can still be Moda, he can still thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because he says, if a person undergoes a Misa Kala, a Misa Kala, he can still thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not giving me a Misa Chamura, a Misa Kala, whereas once a person is B'Sha'ol, after L'Acham Eveshim Shana, then Taka then is Miyodelach. In the Sha'ol there's Taka no Miyodelach, a person can't thank. But still, when a person is undergoing the Chevle Maves, he can still thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can still thank Hashem for giving him a Misa Kala, more gentle from Misa. That's the difference. Bamavis.
It's not dermal. If the word
dermal is, dermal
is
defined in death. After. Yeah. Bamavis is while still alive, but almost.
The next word is bishop.
Yeah. Basha. Oh, interesting. Yeah. I never thought about it. Yeah, could be. Maybe that's how the Melbourne will. Yeah. Bamavis. Ba is always short for Baha, in the. Whereas ber, or in this case it's just bishaol, is just in a. It's without the hey hayidia, without the definite article.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's that difference between Mamorves, it's not Basha'ol, it's Bisha'ol. It's not Bumorves, it's Bamorves. Yeah.
So maybe that's part of the Malbim's diuk on the Pasuk, that there's clearly a difference between the two halves of the Pasuk. Yeah. Pasuk Zayin. Yeah, this is probably the hardest Pasuk. Yogatzi Bian Chossi, Yogati, I grew tired and chossi in my sighing. Ascher v'cholayma mitossi, I made my bed wet every night, meaning through tears. And then a similar idea here, v'dimrosi arsi amse, I make my bed, eres is another expression of bed, I made my bed wet, v'dimrosi in my tears. It's an expression of crying tremendously, and we saw that medrash that he had to have his bedclothes changed 7 times a day due to excessive crying. Through sweat, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mefarshim Rashi says that it's not just crying, it's not just tears, it's other bodily fluids as well, particularly sweat and mucus. Yeah, that they are, that the in illness, that through crying, mucus also will come out through the nose, and also, and in illness, presumably sweat and so on will also come out. Rashi, Rashi says, the word ascher, yogati bian chossi, ascher v'cholayla, ascher meaning I says Rashi, it means to make dirty, lichluch, it's an expression of dirt. And Rashi quotes a couple of psukim, Hotkin Eicha, Pe Gimel, Pasim Hei, Sechi or Mo'os Tesimenu. You've made us filthy and like refuse, like dirt. Sechi or Mo'os. Now the point is that word Sechi, that pasuk in Eicha, is spelt not with a sin, but with a samach. Says Rashi, we have these letters interchanged. A sin and a samach are often interchanged. They're both sibilance letters, they both give off the sound of a letter S, a S sound. So the word Sechi is related to the word Ascher. So Rashi explains the word Ascher v'cholayla mitos, means I make my bed dirty. I make my bed dirty, and the idea is I make it dirty through various bodily fluids that come out due to my crying. And he quotes another pasuk in Yeshaya, Perkei Pasuk Kaf Hei, Vatihi Mivlosom Kasucha. The Kasucha is an expression of phlegm and mucus and spittle. And again, that word kasucha is spelt with a samach, not a sin. Incidentally, in our piyutim as well, when we have various piyutim which follow the sequence of the aleph base, where they give out an acrostic of the aleph base, very often, when it comes to the letter samach, instead of the piyut, or that line of the piyut, beginning with a samach, which is actually quite a hard letter to begin a word with, it's like the samach is used less than the letter sin. Instead of that, you get the letter sin instead. For example, in Kel Odin, Semeichim b'tzeisom v'sosim b'voam, that word Semeichim b'tzeisom, beginning with the sin, but it's in the place of the letter samach in the sequence of Kel Odin. So the sin and the samach are interchangeable letters in that they are both sibilant letters. Rashi brings another pshat on the pasuk, on this word Ascher. And he brings it in the name of Abibal Dikduk, by the name of Menachem, he quotes it. And he quotes another pasuk, Shteta Pasuk, and I didn't jot down where the pasuk comes. It's also from Yeshaya. Yeah, also from Yeshaya, chapter Kafei. It's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing Moav. And the pasuk says, Ufeiras Yodov Bekirbo, he'll spread out his hands, Bekirbo against Moav, within Moav. And how will he spread out his hands? Ka'ashei foreis, and here's the key word, ha'socha lichos, like a swimmer spreads out his hands to swim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stretch out his hands against Moav, like a swimmer propels himself through the water using his arms, using his hands. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will spread out his hands against Moav. So this word, ascher, is an expression of swimming. The swimmer who swims. So Ascher, spelt with a sin, not a samach, so it's got the advantage over the other pshat in that it's with the actual letter sin, not samach. And he says, I'll make my bed swim. It comes to the same idea. I'll make my bed swim in tears. I'll make the bed so wet through crying. I'll make my bed swim. Ascher. Amse, we have later on. Amse, b'dimasi arsi amse, I make my bed swim again. Amse is an expression of to be soaking wet. Aritiv, Rashi says Aritiv, I make it to rot over, I make it very wet. It's a similar idea. The Metzudas Tzion gives another pshat on this word Amseh. He says it comes from Mem Samachay, which means to melt. We had this pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach where it says V'cham Hashemesh V'nomos, about the mon melting. If it was left out, it melted. It just disintegrated. V'cham Hashemesh, the sun would shine, V'nomos, and it would melt away. Nomos, Mem Samachay, says the Metzudas Tzion, is the root. That means I make my bed melt or dissolve, if you like. Oh, come again. Cafe Nemes is what? Is instant coffee. I don't know that. No, because it dissolves. Dissolves in the water. Ah, Nemes. Oh, there you are. Oh. Yeah. Now, the Targum gives another chat on Asher. Asher v'layla mitasi. The Targum, Amalel b'tzari b'chon leilya. I speak in my tzaris, in my pain, b'chon leilya, every night. Al shivuyi on my bed. Al shivuyi on my bed. So the Targum translates Ascher not as an expression of swimming, to make the bed swim in water, nor an expression of dirt, sichi, like Rashi brings, but rather to speak, and that's the word sicha. I speak. I speak out my tzaris HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I daven with my tzaris HaKadosh Baruch Hu every night. Ascher v'chol laila. Now the Ibn Ezra points out that this word Ascher is in fact not Hebrew at all. It's an Aramaic word, and he says that the word Ascher is an Aramaic word meaning to wash, and it's a translation of Erchat, I wash myself. So I thought I'd look it up. I looked up the pasuk in Miketz, where it says that Yosef cried when the brothers came, and he saw Binyamin, and he cried, and then it says he went out, Vayirchpanov, he washed his face. So I look up the Targum on Vayirchatz to see if it's an Aramaic word, and the Targum translates it as Va'aschei Apohi, he washed his face. Va'aschei, he does it with the Samach. So we have different expressions here, either to swim, or to soak, or the dirt, or to speak, or indeed to wash. I wash my bed in tears, that's the idea. The Radak asks Akasha, why is it Dafka B'chol Laila? Why is it Dafka at night time? So the Radak says, maybe at night time David felt his illness more than he felt it during the day. I suppose the darkness of night, without the benefits of natural daylight and electricity, so things seem worse at night time than during the day. That's one shot by the Radak. Or he gives a second shot, maybe David cried Dafka at night time. Why? Because he was embarrassed to be seen crying. So so at night time nobody would be around, so he had the privacy and he could cry in privacy. Now the word eres there, arasi, meaning a bed, the Malbim again differentiating between the word mitzah and the word arasi. The Malbim says the word mitzah, the standard bed that a person would use to sleep on, for a man. And he says, interestingly enough, it comes from the Shoresh Nuntesei. Nuntesei is to lean. And many Shoroshim that begin with the letter Nun, that Nun goes away, the Nun disappears. Like Nun Fei Lamed is to fall, and you have a word like Vayipo, he fell. And when that happens, the Nun is replaced by a Dogish in the next letter. Well, he says here, the root is Nun Tesei, which is to lean. The Nun has disappeared, that's why he got a Dogish in the Tes. He doesn't say this, I'm adding that in. And very often, you take a Shoresh and you add a Mem at the beginning of a Shoresh, and it transforms a word from a verb into a noun. So you have a word, for example, like Zayin Beis Ches, to slaughter, and you stick a Mem at the beginning, you get the word Mizbeach, which is an altar. So very often, you have this many, many times, Ma'amar, a saying, right? Stuck onto Aleph Mem Resh, to say, stick on a Mem at the beginning, Ma'amar. Many examples. So here we have the Nun Tesei is the root. That means to lean, because that's exactly what a person does on his bed. He leans on the bed by lying down. And the Nun disappears to get a Dogish in the Ches, and you add a Mem at the beginning to get the word Mitah, and that gives you a noun from the Shoresh. The Malbim differentiates between mitzah and eres. He says a mitzah is a bed a person would sleep on at night, while an eres is a bed, he says, or maybe it's more of a couch, he says, either for children, women, or someone who's not well. Oh, didn't know that. Arisa, there we are. How do you know someone should do it? Yeah, so Arisa, what's that, a cot? A cot is Arisa, very good. Oh. The Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch, again in his Gewaldigen knowledge of Lashon HaKodesh, points to this word Ascher. He says it means, he takes on the pshat that it means to swim, that second pshat brought in Rashi, that it means to swim, and he says of an amazing Lashon here. Says Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch, when a person swims, he's horizontal on the water. Yeah, it's lying down horizontal on the water. And the root of that is Simchas Hay. He says, well, what about when a bows down on the ground? That's Hishtachavoya. And the root of that is Shin Ches Hay. Yeah, the Hishtachavoya is to bow down. So this is the same Sheresh. Sim Ches Hay is to be horizontal on the water to swim. And so that Sim Ches Hay is to be horizontal on the water to swim. And Shin Ches Hay is to be horizontal on the ground. To be straight oneself on the ground is to bow down. Unbelievable. That's amazing. Now, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph, on this pasuk, that even when David was very ill, I read out the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Afilu b'shas cholyo shel David, even in the time of the illness of David, Kiyem shmena esrei onos, he still was mekayim 18 onos, meaning the mitzvah of ona, the conjugal mitzvah of a man to his wife, and David HaMelech had his 18 wives, and therefore he was mekayim the mitzvah of ona even in his illness with each one of his wives. And a man of incredible physical strength, he was able to be still being kind of, he didn't want to let down any of his wives, even though he was ill. Shemema, we bring this pasuk. Yogati b'yam chasi, asre b'chalayna mitasi, b'dimasiya siyamse. And there the Gemara explains that, Rashi on that Gemara explains that again, asre is a lashon of sechi, of dirt. And it's the, he's saying, I made my bed wet through the mitzvah of Ona. So that's how the Gemara learns it. That even though David was ill, he was nevertheless mekayim the mitzvah of Ona with each one of his wives. Now, I have to use this as an excuse to quote Rabbi Cooper. Rabbi Cooper told me this amazing maisa. He said it a few times, I heard it from him a few times, which echoes this idea of the Gemara. You see here from this Gemara, that David had immense physical strength, that he was mekayim the mitzvah of Ona, even though he was very ill, with every one of his 18 wives. So Rabbi Cooper once told me a maisa of Rav Chaim Voloshin, who went to the Vilna Gaon on one occasion. Rav Chaim Voloshin was in a situation he had to write a get for a woman whose name was Bathsheba, and he wasn't sure, machlokes, how do you spell the word Bathsheba? For the get to get the spelling right, remember this maisa? Do you spell in one word Bathsheba, or two words Bathsheba? So Rav Chaim Voloshin went to ask his rabbi, the Vilna Gaon, how do you spell Bathsheba? So the Vilna Gaon answered with a remez. And he answered with this very cryptic lashon. He said, "Tamachti yisaidosai b'shloshe esrei severs." Which we say, of course, in Slichas and in Ne'ilah, Yom Kippur. Yeah, "Tamachti yisaidosai." I placed my foundations, my trust, basically, b'shloshe esrei severs, in the 13 words. And that's a reference to the Shlosh Esrei Midos, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Racham, Rechanun, the 13 words, the Shlosh Esrei Midos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We put our trust in that. And that was the Gaon's answer, and Rav Chaim Voloshin had to decipher the code, what on earth the Gaon meant. So Rav Chaim Voloshin had to decipher the code, what he meant by these 13 words. So of course it refers in fact to Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the Gemara is in Sanhedrin Kaf Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara quotes as possible which we did in yesterday's Haftarah. And Bathsheba came to the king, Hachadra to the room. The Amelech Zokim, the king was very old. Avishag Hashunamis Misharas Es Amelech, and Avishag the lady from Shunem was serving the king. Says the Gemara that even though, and that's a passage from the beginning of Melachim Aleph, that even though David was Zokein Ma'od, very old, he had not lost any of his physical strength. Says the Gemara that when Bathsheba came in, so the lashon of the Gemara is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ba'usasha, at that time, Kincha Bathsheba B'shlosh Esrei Mappos. Bathsheba cleaned herself with 13 cloths. What's the pshat? Rashi explains that David wanted to show his physical strength. He was showing them, I'm strong enough. I'm not, you think I'm a zonkin, you think I'm an old man, you think I've got no physical strength left. I've got physical strength. He proved it by having Bia there and then with Bathsheba no less than 13 times. So she had to clean herself up afterwards with 13 mappas. And how is that learnt from the pasuk? Because the pasuk has got 13 words in it. Batovo, Bathsheba, El Hamelech Hachadra, Bamelech Zokim Ma'ud, Bavishak Hashnamis Misharas Hamelech. 13 words, got 13 words in the pasuk. However, it's only got 13 words in the pasuk if you count Bathsheba as one word. Let me just check it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That's right. Bathsheba is written as one word And if it's written as one word, then it gives you 13 words in the pasuk. So from there, the Gemara learns that he should be up with her 13 times. So this was the Gaon's remez to Reb Chaim Volozhin. You want to know how to spell the word Bathsheba? I'll prove it to you. Tamachti Yisodosai, B'shloshes Seisavis, the 13 words, not B'shloshes Emidzah Sharachmeh. This is quoting that. It's the 13 words in this pasuk from which the Gemara learns they had be'ah with Bathsheba 13 times on that spot there and then. In Tanakh, you'd have to get hold of ancient manuscripts to see this. You have to see the way the Sofrim wrote it in, I don't know if they have such, don't know if they had access to such things. So that's amazing, isn't it? Because both of those Gemaras show David's immense physical strength, yeah? With the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuzayin, that he didn't let any of the 18 wives down, and the Gemara here about Bathsheba 13 times. Oh, I must tell you this. The Ben Yehoyada says on that Gemara, Yogati Bian Chasi, on which the Gemara says he didn't let down any of his 18 wives even though he was ill, says the Ben Yehoyada, the letters An Chasi is an anagram of Oson Yud Ches, those 18. An Chosi, Oson Yud Ches, those 18. He was Makan, the Mitzvah owner with all the 18 wives. Yeah? Interesting. Amazing. Yeah, it's a Ches. Oshashon Mikas, Amy, my eye is worn out through anger. Oshashon Mikas, Sarah Roy, it's grown old. Through all my enemies. So when Oshasha, Rashi explains the word Oshasha means to become dim. My eye has become dimmed through anger. And Rashi mentions a product called Ashoshis, Ayin Shin Shin, which he says is a type of smoked glass. With smoked glass, it's almost, I suppose, a bit like a person might have a cataract. The image is blurred or dimmed, a bit like looking through smoked glass, and that's the idea of Ashoshis, is smoked glass. Then he quotes another pasuk, Menachem, then he quotes this other Rishon Menachem, that it's an expression of to rot away, something of rotting away. Oshasha is the expression of rotting away, and he quotes a pasuk, Va'atzomai Osheshu. I think that's also in Tzik. My bones rot away, Osheshu, Ayin Shin, to rot away. Oska, Rashi says, Oska b'chol tzoriroi, means Rashi explains it becomes to become old. Osaka. It's interesting. It's one of these words, Osaka, the root is Ayin Saf Kuf, and it's one of these words that gives us the English, it's one where an English word comes from the Hebrew word. The Ayin, some people pronounce the Ayin, yeah, we have here a Yankov, right? That some people pronounce an Ayin almost like an Ayin Nun, Yankov, Yanki, and so on, yeah? So anyone ever call a Yanki? A Yankov, yeah. Yeah. So that gives you the word antique. Ayin Saf Kuf. Gives the word antique, yeah, it's an expression of age. Pardon? Yeah. Oh. Rashi gives another translation there, again in the name of Menachem, that this word osaka is a reference to uproot. And he quotes it from a pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayatik Misham Hahara Mikedem Neveisel, that Avram uprooted his tent and he journeyed from Kedem to Beis Hale. So Ayin Tav Kuf is to uproot. It says Osaka b'chol tzoriroi, my eye is uprooted, it's sort of dislocated b'chol tzoriroi because of all my enemies. And the Targum translates the word Osaka as Isbelias, which is an expression of to be worn out. Isbelias, to be tired and worn out. The Ibn Ezra says that when David in his illness noted that many of his enemies were constantly watching him and they wanted to see, now how's he doing, and there were the enemies took an interest in David, not to wish him a refusal, but for Ket. They wanted to see, they were looking forward to David's downfall and death. So he says that's why Oshasha Mika'as Eni, that's made me angry. It's not because I've been crying so much. It's because I'm angry with my enemies. As the passage says, Behold terror, I saw this result of my enemies. And the Madhu says the same sort of Lashon. It's that even though he's been crying so much, you might think, Oshasha, my eye is worn out because of crying. No, not because of crying so much. It's because of chaos, because I'm so angry with my enemies. Yeah, the enemies are, the Malbim says it, the idea is that the enemies are considerably worse than the illness that I'm suffering. Now, I have to give a credit here to my son Yaakov Chaim, who pointed it out, a sefer to me that I had on my shelf. I didn't even know I had it. It's ridiculous. A sefer brought out a collection of Rishonim on various, on Psukim and on Torah and on Nach. And there's a small section there from the Baal Tosfos Rid. The one who wrote Tosfos Rid, the Baal Tosfos who wrote Tosfos Rid, his name is Rabbi Yeshaya. He came from a place called Tirani in Italy. He had a son, he had a grandson who was also Rabbi Yeshaya, also from Tirani. And so to differentiate, we call them, that one is Rabbi Yeshaya Rishon and the other is Rabbi Yeshaya Acharon. He lived in it from 1180 to 1260. And he points out there that the word Osh, Ayin Shin, is a moth. It's found out elsewhere in Tanakh that an osh is a moth. So osh shalmikas eini is expression of disintegration. My eye, like a moth, eats away at clothing and at fabrics. So likewise, my eye has become worn out. It's like moth eaten. I've become moth eaten from anger, and I've become it's become old as a result of my enemies. Pasuk tes surim eni kol pale open. Remove from me or go away from me all those who do averis, kishama Hashem kol bichi, because Hashem has heard the sound of my crying. So the Metzudas David says that it's a warning to his enemies. Now, from now on, we have a bit of the psukim become a bit more upbeat. Till now, it's been very downbeat. Sorrow to David, now it becomes more upbeat. He says, my enemies don't stand a chance against me. Why? Kishama Hashem kol bichi, Hashem has heard the sound of my crying, so the enemies can't defeat me. The Radak points out, yeah, that's like Hisham Hashem Kol Bichi, Hashem has heard the sounds of my voice. It's either that it's a dead certainty that Hashem will hear the sounds of my crying, and because it's so certain that He will, even though He has not yet, it's put in the past tense. Kishoma. It's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu already has heard. And that's something that you find in Tanakh quite a few times, that a nevuah is written in the past tense. It's considered such a certainty that something will happen that it can be written in the past tense even though it has not yet happened. And then the Radak points out as well, he says that we have a guarantee from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone who cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, believe nishbar v'nidke, with a broken heart, you can be guaranteed HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear that tefillah and he will respond to that tefillah. And that's why that David can be so certain that the Hashem will hear, even though, and therefore he writes it in the past tense as though it has already happened. There's a three of Agadata, I don't know where I saw that, I must have seen this quoted, Sifri Agadata on the Gilas Esther, based on this pasuk, quotes this pasuk. Amar Reb Chalbo, Eina Ola Miskayim Ela Behevel Piv Shel Timokas Shel Beis Rabban. The world exists on the breath of air of children, and Timokas Shel Beis Rabban, children only in Cheder. It says the breath of air means the Torah that they say with their mouths. Shenema, Surim Emeni Kol Pale Oven. This pasuk, David says, remove from me all pale oven. Why? Kishma Hashem kol bichi, the sound of my crying. What's this a reference to? It's the Torah learnt by young children. The value of Torah learnt by young children is so valuable that the world is miskayim based on that. And that's Kishma Hashem kol bichi. I'm not quite sure how that medrash based on this pasuk kol bichi. Maybe it's because children cry more than adults. Maybe that's why. Kol bichi, the sound of crying. Pasuk yud. Shama Hashem Tichinasi, Hashem has heard my supplication. Hashem tefilasi yikach, Hashem shall accept my tefillah. I think this word tichinasi is the reason why we refer to this tefillah as tachanun. Tichinasi, tachanun, yeah? The Radak points out that yikach, again, Hashem will accept my tefillah. It's as though it says lokach, it's as though he has already accepted the tefillah. Again, it's considered a thing, but it will happen in the future, but a certainty, and therefore you can assume it will happen. Yevoshu pasuk yudalef. Yevoshu v'yibohalu me'od kaloi voy. My enemy, all my enemies, will be embarrassed and will tremble greatly. Yalshuvu, they will return. Yevoshu roga, they will be embarrassed for a moment. Or maybe a better translation is they will be instantly embarrassed. Roga for rega. They'll be embarrassed immediately. So here again, David is saying, my enemies are giving me such a terrible time, but I'm certain that they will eventually, they'll change their minds, Yoshuvu, they'll go back on their previous ideas, and Yevush Roga, they'll be embarrassed, instantly embarrassed. Rashi explains, what's this idea of Yoshuvu Yevoshu. It's a double. We've got this word Yevoshu twice in the pasuk. Yevoshu v'bohalu, followed by Yevoshu roga. What's this double embarrassment? So Rashi brings two pshatim. First pshat comes from Rabbi Yechonon. Must come from a medrash. That they'll be embarrassed. The non-Jews, the enemies of David, will be embarrassed twice. Why? Because they will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them a bad verdict, basically find them guilty, and will punish them, and then they will turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and appeal against his verdict. How can you punish us so badly? We're not that bad after all. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look again into the case, and will judge them again very badly and give them a guilty verdict. That's a double guilty verdict, and that will therefore embarrass them twice. Hashem will look into their case once again, and then that'll embarrass them a second time. That's a double busha. Rashi brings the second shot from Rav Shmuel ben Achmeini, that the non-Jews will eventually turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They'll do teshuvah. They will eventually yeshuvah. They will eventually turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to them, well, initially you governed me. Initially you turned to your idols. Now you want to come back to me. Now suddenly you're turning to me. Now I'm afraid I'm not going to have any time for you. Now I won't answer you. And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim Pek Yud Ches, where the pasuk says, Yeshavu, they will cry out, Ve'imushia, but there'll be no one to save them. Al Hashem, they'll daven to Hashem, Ve'lo Onon, but he won't answer them. Why? Because they have previously turned against, previously turned to Avodah Zarah rather than turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a double busha. Their first busha is that they never turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the first place. Second busha is they do eventually turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but by then it's too late, he won't answer them. The Ibn Ezra points out that here we have the Yibohalu Ma'od Kol Oivai. All my enemies will tremble greatly. Says the Ibn Ezra, that corresponds to what we learnt earlier in Pasuk Dalet. In Pasuk Dalet, he says of himself, V'nafshi Nivhala Ma'od. I've been trembling greatly. My soul trembled. That's Halom Ha'od. All tables are turned against the enemies of David, and now it's my enemies who tremble greatly. Yevoshiv Yevoh Halom Ha'od Kol Oivai. Now it's my enemies who tremble greatly. The Masudas David says a very interesting shot here on this last expression of Yevoshu Roga. They'll be embarrassed Roga for a moment. Simple pshat is they'll be embarrassed instantly. Rega, instantly. Masudas David says, no. Once my enemies do teshuvah, yashuvu, yevoshu, they will suffer embarrassment, but only for a roga, only for a moment. I won't make them suffer anymore. David will be mochel them immediately, and therefore they won't suffer in their embarrassment for any more than one single rega. It's a different pshat. Either instantly rega, or for just a moment, just for a rega. Another pshat from Rabbi Yeshaya from Tirani, from the Tisus Rid, he learns a totally different pshat in that last word, roga. He says that word roga is an expression of peace and quiet. And he quotes a pasuk in the Tochacha in Kisavo, where it says, Geim ha'im lo sargia, they won't have any peace and quiet amongst the nations. So he says peace and quiet can also mean an inability to answer. They'll be dumbfounded. They won't have anything to say. Yevosh Roga will be so embarrassed. Roga, they'll be quiet. Literally, it'll be peace and quiet. They'll be quiet. Oh, okay, so finish off with one small medrash still? Yeah, you got time or you got to go? Yeah. The medrash Shecha Tov quotes a medrash on this. It says that Amr B'Shem and Levi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Rishoyim with Busha. That's the idea of Yevosh Roga. What's their Busha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows the empty places in Gan Eden. You says, see, the Gan Eden got plenty of places left. These are the places that should have been for you Rishoyim, but you lost your chance. Likewise, he shows the Tzadikim the empty places in Gehenna. It says, see, these places in Gehenna that are empty, this world's reserved for you, but you become a Tzadik, so you don't need to. So there's no place in Gehenna for you. Okay, good.